I'm really delighted to be here with you to talk about this project, which I think may be a bit of an outlier in the context of the presentations that we've had, innovative technology about practice and education. But I do believe that there are implications for the use of photo voice in both practice and education, and hope that you can draw that sort of parallel as we go through this presentation. I have it on another slide. And I wanted to acknowledge my co-authors of the presentation, and one person who's here with me is Dr. Peggy Massaros. Peggy is from the University of Virginia. She's Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, and she's the director of the Center for Human Development there, and we've been collaborators for a few studies. My other colleagues, Nisha Bochwe is from School of Architecture, and Ivy is in the School of Nursing. I will disclose that I have no relationships, that is, personal financial relationships of any commercial nature. I do have some relationships, however. I also want to acknowledge that this research was funded by the Rural Healthcare Research Center at the School of Nursing at the University of Virginia. They have a P20 center grant, an exploratory center grant, and we were one of the pilot studies in year four of that project. The objectives for you as learners would include understanding the utility of photo voice as a complementary approach to other qualitative methodologies, and also exploring some of the perspectives of teens and teen boys and their parents from rural tobacco producing counties about being non-users of tobacco. We have had a research partnership that has developed over some years, and both Dr. Massaros and I got our early funding on this project from the Virginia Tobacco Settlement Foundation. I think that the state of Virginia is one of the states that's really on the front line in terms of using some of the tobacco settlement monies for tobacco prevention, which we're really very proud of. And Dr. Massaros' first study was about adolescent females and preventing and stopping smoking cessation. The first study that my team at UVA was involved in had to do with non-smokers from Charlottesville, boys and girls, and their perceptions about being non-smokers at 16 or 17 years of age. Our third study was a collaborative study where we began the relationship between Virginia Tech, the University of Virginia, and Carilion Health System. And in this study, we looked at female adolescents and their parents. And then the fourth study, which I'm talking about today, is looking at boys and their parents, has incorporated the use of photo voice, and is involving boys from two rural tobacco-producing counties. The aims of our study were really to understand whether a modified photo voice method would enhance the contributions, the participation of boys in our interviews, individual and group interviews, and also to identify those protective factors, individual and environmental influences, that allow these boys from tobacco-producing counties to be non-smokers and non-users of smokeless tobacco. In terms of background, I know that most of you are familiar with this type of information. The numbers vary from 400,000 to 440,000 deaths that could be attributable to the use of tobacco in our society. And the costs, $157 billion. I think the costs are mounting each year as healthcare costs mount. And in tobacco-producing states like Virginia, we have elevated lung cancer death rates that can be really attributed to this high prevalence of smoking. Now, Healthy People 2010 would like a goal of 16% to reduce adolescent cigarette use to 16%. The data that I've made available to you here is from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and it's really about states that are contiguous with Virginia. Virginia does not participate in the state-level Youth Risk Behavior Survey, so we don't have actual data from that survey on smoking or smokeless tobacco rates. But you can see that the rates of smoking and smokeless tobacco use are very high in Kentucky, North Carolina, West Virginia, and Virginia is not much different. However, I did check some of my sources, and the Virginia Youth Tobacco Project has data that shows that in 2007-2008, they've actually reduced the percent of youth who are smoking, current smokers, over the past 30 days to 15.5%, which is a wonderful and remarkable rate, and 4.6% in middle schoolers. And that rate was 22% in high school in 2005 and 7.5% in middle schoolers. We'll have to see if this is a trend, a pattern that will sustain itself, if it could in fact be due to some of the investment of funds that Virginia has made into this youth tobacco prevention. And also the current adolescent tobacco use. Again, these numbers vary. I see these quotes in different sources, but approximately 1,500 new smokers a day, which means that it's a continuing problem. And we think about 6.4 million potential deaths of these adolescents as they grow into adulthood. The current project status, we have up to this point interviewed two African American, two Caucasian American male adolescent, one never trier, one former experimenter, and two parents. These are individual interviews in which we used photo voice or picture taking as part of that interview. Then we followed this with group interviews of six African American adolescents and so far five Caucasian American adolescents. Again, we interview never triers and experimenters separately, and we've used some of the pictures that the individuals took in that group session, but at the end of the group session. The interesting thing is that one county that we're using is in rural central Virginia, and it has 33% African American. So we selected our African American population from that county. Another county is in far southwest Virginia, and I would say there may be 92 or 93% Caucasian Americans in that county, and we drew our sample of Caucasian American youth and parents from that county. What is photo voice? It really is a qualitative approach, and it uses images to promote ways to share beliefs about a topic. It's been used, and some of you are probably familiar in the literature, the Flint papers about Flint County and the use of photo voice there, to facilitate group discussions and encourage participants to share thoughts among themselves. Community assessment, I think, could be a wonderful way for key stakeholders in the community to actually give a pictorial view of what the needs and issues are within their community. It also becomes a concrete way, it's a picture, a way to express ideas, in our case, about being tobacco free, which is amplified through pictures that were taken in response to interview questions. And I will get to those interview questions in a moment. And it can be more effective with male adolescents. And male adolescents are often sometimes hesitant to share their thoughts and feelings, or they may have a hard time articulating ideas in any depth, in great depth. IRB issues and solutions. We indeed obtained IRB approval at both the University of Virginia and at Virginia Tech. One of the things that they were most concerned about was confidentiality of individuals that they might take pictures of. So we, in a picture training with the picture takers, the boys and the parents, instructed them not to take close-up photos of people, but if they did, we would blur their faces. And this is sort of a way that we've used to sort of blur the faces or any identifying information so that we could then use the pictures with another group of individuals. One of the things that I think you'll see that in the questions that we ask our interviewees, we're not asking them to tell us their story necessarily about substance use or tobacco use. It's about being a non-smoker and about those people in their life who've influenced them. So IRB was less concerned about issues that might relate to use of illicit drugs or taking pictures of people using illegal drugs. So these are the ways that we went about in thinking about preparation, training, follow-up, and photo voice procedures. We had very specific instructions. IRB was concerned about the instructions that we used for picture takers. And we addressed this by providing, we were using digital disposable cameras We had consent documents, and we actually trained the facilitators and trained the youth at each site. So the training was actually conducted by Dr. Massaros and I with the facilitator and the boys and parents, either in the county in Central Virginia or in far Southwest Virginia. We had sent them the interview questions in advance, and we gave them very specific picture-taking instructions about trying not to use identifying information or that we would blur faces. Cameras were then had been mailed to the local site, but then were mailed back to us, and I actually had those pictures developed. And then we followed this up by conducting interviews and audio taping interviews with boys and parents, in which we used open-ended questions. And in the individual interviews, they took pictures. Picture taking was used in those individual interviews, and the pictures were integral to our process of interview and describing the picture and how it answered the question. In the group interviews, we went through a standard group interview without pictures in the same way that my team had done the original interviews in the Charlottesville area, so that we would have that basic information, but then follow that up with pictures that were the most important pictures deemed by the boys and the parents in the individual interviews, and then had additional discussion about those pictures. So this is a sampling of the questions that we used. How would you describe someone who doesn't smoke or use smokeless tobacco? What makes it easy? What makes it hard? What are some good things about being a non-smoker? What are some not so good things? Who supports you? And what messages have you gotten from your mother or father? The questions for the parents were a little bit different, and these are questions that flowed from some of Dr. Massaros' earlier work. And what do you think influenced your son or daughter's decision about, and in this case your son's decision about not using smoking cigarettes or smokeless tobacco? And which of those influences would you say had the most impact on your decision? And has that changed over time? And how can you tell that they've had an impact? And then in what ways have you wanted your son's decision, whether or not to smoke, have you wanted to influence your son's decision? So you can see we're looking for verbal and nonverbal messages. The feasibility of using PhotoVoice, it yielded positive outcomes, especially with the male youths, who indeed needed more prompting to respond to some of the interview questions. It does require time, it does require some financial support, but the costs are not great. You need to purchase the cameras, you need to develop the film, train the picture takers, debrief them, and then prepare photos for using in the larger group discussions. And although the cost factor is small, you have to consider, of course, the time factor. But we would say there was a good return on investment in terms of the information that we were able to glean from these individual picture takers and then from the group interviews. These are a few statements from the boys about their perspectives on how useful PhotoVoice was. An African-American boy had said they helped him to explain them better. The pictures helped me remember what I took and what I thought. And so therefore, I was able to look at my pictures and say and answer all the questions with better answers. A Caucasian-American boy said that the pictures helped him in describing boys who did not smoke or use smokeless tobacco because reasons for the fact that you don't want to do it, you know it's there, but then when you have to take a picture of it, it's something you remember. It's like, oh well, there it is. It keeps me from doing it. I see everybody else doing it, and I don't want to be like everybody else. So he was actually telling us some of his reasons for not smoking and not using smokeless tobacco while he was telling us how the pictures prompted him to think more about those reasons. So that gives you a sense. We have not completed the qualitative analysis of all of the interviews, so this is preliminary analysis of the use of PhotoVoice and its feasibility, but I think that answer gives you some insight into what these boys are thinking and what they see around them. And another boy stated, I think it helped. The pictures helped better than me just coming in here and saying it. So they had time to think about these questions and to go out and look for pictures that actually answered those questions. We also asked the mothers, and from a mother's perspective, she said it was hard to do smells in a picture. A lot of people talk about the smell of smoking, the nasty, noxious smell that's associated with smoking. That's why I just got right in there in that ashtray at school. We have a little isolated place where the teachers have to go, and after one break and many people went out to smoke, I didn't know how to capture that, so I just stuck the camera right in the ashtray. Again, she's sort of giving us her reasons and her ideology and her search for pictures that really had meaning. The same mother went to a recreation park and observed people in a long line who were waiting to eat. They also wanted to smoke. So having to make the decision of whether to wait in a line for 30 minutes to get their food or to go and smoke a cigarette was the pitifulest thing I have ever heard in my life. But see, I wouldn't have remembered that if I hadn't seen the picture of the dinner or the diner. So again, you get some of the thought process that she's thinking about. And another mother, when she was asked if this was a good technique, she said, yeah, actually, I don't know of any other way you could, you know, remember everything that you saw. So. From the research team's perspective, we really do believe it's useful, and it's taken us further. It's sort of another step. It's more breadth and depth of information from these boys. In the study that we did in Charlottesville earlier, we had 17 African-American and Caucasian-American boys, and we used the same protocol. In the original study, those boys gave us very quick, concrete, to-the-point answers. And when we would ask the question another way, they'd say, answered that. And then they'd give us a quick, concrete. It wasn't that they weren't participating and they weren't giving us thoughtful answers, but I think their reflections were much more spontaneous and much more direct and concrete. So there was really a difference in the level of discussion and really the flow of ideas that were generated by having taken these pictures, and then they thought about the meaning of the pictures over time. These are some of the pictures that we will be analyzing and presenting along with the data. They rank among the most important things that protect African-American boys from using smokeless tobacco or from smoking cigarettes. That gorgeous smile, my smile, the girls like it, and I want my appearance, my smile. Achievement, they were very focused on achievement. And here, achievement is depicted in trophies, but in the young boys' discussion of achievement, it went beyond trophies and beyond sports. He knew that he wasn't going to be playing football at the next level or in the rest of his life, but the notion of achievement was a positive sort of construct. And then church family, in this African-American community, both the boys and the parents sort of came to church family as being one of the most important supportive factors for them not wanting to use smokeless tobacco or smoke cigarettes. Now, these are pictures that were taken by the Caucasian American boys and parents, and you'll see, it may be hard to see up in the left-hand corner here. What it really does, kills you and you still can't quit. That man is riding a motorized scooter. He has a cigarette in his hand and he is on oxygen. And this is at a theme park. And the boy saw that picture and he said, "That I don't want that to happen to me or my parents or my children." Nature. One of the things these young men do in far southwest Virginia is hunt and fish, and a young boy talked to us about this image of he can make it up the hill faster than his buddies. He doesn't scare the deer away by coughing and hacking. Their analogies kind of went on and on, and they don't smell. I guess deer are really sensitive to smells, so you can also scare the deer away by that. And then having friends on the tennis team. Again, the notion of physical activity, that you have to be able to breathe, you need your lungs. So we have some interesting, thoughtful responses from these young men and their parents, and I'm glad that I could share this part of our study with you. Thanks.